You've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely. I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world, all 195 of them, while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers, chat with fascinating locals, and even take the show on the road from time to time. I'll also be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram at Lovely Travels. You can join our Facebook group, also called Lovely Travels, and learn more about us at the website, www.lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Lovely Travels podcast. I am.
Hey, very excited to be back again.
Me too. Another interesting episode this week. You had Amanda Kendall on the show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Amanda and I met. So she runs the Thoughtful Travel podcast. She's a podcaster and blogger. And we met through the Australian Podcasters Collaborative, which is a group on Facebook for Australian podcasters. And yeah, we just had both been messaging or sort of commenting on things and sort of messaged each other. And it's actually quite a small network of Australian travel podcasters. And so she was really happy to meet another one. And yeah, we just kind of hit it off. And I was like, well, you know, she's up to over 200 episodes, which is super like I'm like hashtag podcast goals. And I just was like, okay, I want to talk to you. How do you get to 200, you know?
And how do you do it?
you got to keep going. So, but she's obsessed with the benefits of traveling, that traveling can give us and the world. And that's why she started the Thoughtful Travel podcast in 2016. But she's actually been blogging since 2005 on her blog, Not a Ballerina. So she has a lot of travel under her belt and actually, you know, gets paid for travel writing as well, has, you know, really supported people as well in terms of she does sort of marketing consulting as well and helps people to, if they wanted to make a living maybe while traveling or to better their business, she also helps them with that. So it was really, it was a really great chat.
And if you wanted to, as a listener, if you wanted to get in contact with Amanda, how do we do that?
So, of course, head over to look up her podcast, so Thoughtful Travel Podcast. She's on all great travel, on all good podcasting platforms. So, you know, your Spotify, your iTunes, all of that. You can find her on Twitter at Amanda Kendall. You can find her on Instagram with the same handle at Amanda Kendall, spelled K-E-N-D-L-E. And then to head to her blog, it's notaballerina.com. And on Facebook, the page is also Not a Ballerina. So, yeah, it's really cool. I highly recommend episode 200. It was just really awesome. She actually got a bunch of 200 and 201. She got a bunch of listeners to share their favorite experiences from listening to the podcast. So it was kind of like podcast inception.
So listeners, dear listeners, start making notes now because episode 200 is only about, 175 episodes away.
Yeah, it's only 175 weeks away. So that's just 3.5 years, guys, to prep. But you need notes, yes, because she was like, and it was so awesome. Like these people were so specific about like they remembered specific episodes and specific things that were said. It was like, it was really heartwarming. It was really beautiful. So we hope you love us as much as her. No pressure, guys, no pressure. But she also has a wonderful group. So for the Thoughtful Travel podcast, Thoughtful Travelers group. But yeah, let's listen. Let's listen to the chat.
Let's get into it.
Okay, welcome to the podcast, Amanda. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Emma. It's really awesome to be here.
It's so exciting to talk to not only a podcaster, but a travel podcaster. And you are quite up there with the travel podcasting. So I'm a bit of a fan as well.
Thank you. You'll embarrass me.
I always like to ask people the existential question of who are you? And just to tell us a little bit about yourself in your words.
Oh, well, so I am a Perth girl, born and bred, and I left Perth for a few years to travel and live abroad. And I'd always loved to travel anyway, but living abroad, I lived in Japan, Germany, and Slovakia, teaching English for a few years. And so during that time, I became completely obsessed and addicted to all things travel related. And I started a travel blog, and it's like 15 years ago. And returned to Perth eventually and started the Thoughtful Travel podcast. So I do lots of different things to make a living, but part of it is traveling, travel writing, travel podcasting, and all things travel.
So awesome. It's like living the dream.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, like we were talking before, saying people don't really understand, but it's like I think they just see it as the dream and let everyone believe that that is the case.
Yeah. And honestly, I pinch myself so often that I get to do what I get to do. So, it is a dream come true.
It's pretty awesome setting up your office in somewhere random around the world and being able to continue making a living.
Yeah, for sure.
And getting to talk about it and share it with everybody, which is also lovely. Well, you've answered two of my next questions, which are where do you live and where are you from? Because I believe you are still in Perth.
I am still in Perth, and this is the longest time I have stayed in Perth for, well, I don't know how long, years, because, of course, right now the Western Australian border is very solidly shut. But luckily, Western Australia is a huge state and there's lots to see and do, so I'm okay.
Absolutely beautiful state, and I've got a few friends over there at the moment and they're doing the road trip. You know, we'd usually go on a family vacay and just seeing it all again. I was very fortunate to do I've done 1 month twice, so when I was 13 and then when I was 14 we came over for a month at Christmas.
Oh, brilliant.
And then we went south the first time and did all that down to Albany and around the bottom. And then we went the next time north up to Monkey Mire and Pinnacle Desert. And
fabulous.
Yes. So,
well, you can see from that what a range of things our state has to offer. So, yeah.
I think when you look at the map, I really only did the bottom third, if that.
Yeah. But it's still a huge long distance you've covered to do that. So,
I'm dying to get over to see my friend. He's in the Pilbara. But the thing is about Perth and being the east to the west coast of Australia, it's not cheap.
No.
It is like the same. I can fly. I literally could have the same price to London a few times.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I haven't been up to, for example, Broome in the north of Western Australia because every time I've looked at it, I could fly to somewhere, especially if somewhere in Southeast Asia, and have like 2 or 3 weeks there and fly home, and it was still less than the airfare just to Broome from Perth. So it's really hard to justify.
But maybe now's your time.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it is a really long way. Like flying from Perth to the top of Western Australia is like covering the whole of Europe. So it is, you know, it is a really long distance. But there's just not enough people, so the cost is still high. So,
one day, adding it to the list. So, I'm going to ask you a very tough question. It's probably traveler's least favorite question, but do you have a favorite country?
Well, no, but how long have you got?
Yeah, go.
Okay, I was thinking about this, and I've narrowed it down. Well, I've narrowed it down to three, but of course, there's a billion more. But so Japan is definitely one of my favourite places. I lived in Japan for a couple of years. I've been back a few times since, and it's a country that is so different in nearly every way.
Mm.
It's a pleasure to travel around Japan, you know, because the people are delightful. The food is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different things to discover. Like every time I go back, you know, I scrape away another bit of a layer or I don't know, it's just fascinating. So Japan is up there. Russia is another that I'm dying to get back to because I've had a couple of trips there and I had a journey across Russia on the Trans-Siberian that I would just love to repeat.
Mm.
So, and it just, I don't know, you know, I grew up, we studied in high school, for example, we studied basically only European and World War history and stuff. And, you know, that, so that area has always fascinated me for that reason, I suppose. And I promise this is my last one.
No, go. I love it.
The other favorite is Iceland. So I've had just a couple of weeks in Iceland, and it was so, I can't even explain. It's one of those countries that just has this invisible pull for me. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful and so kind of quirky and far away and a little bit unusual. And I just had such an amazing time, and I want to go back.
Well, you were talking about it with the gentleman from the grief and travel episode. Was it Dean? And he was talking about Iceland, and so you were like saying, you know, it's that place where it's like everybody goes, got to go to Iceland, and you're kind of like, oh yeah, okay. And then you get there, and you're like, yeah, right. Like, we were on the plane, my husband was already going, I want to go back, and we hadn't even landed. And like, he doesn't like horses, but he's like, oh, those horses look beautiful. We've got to go horse riding.
I know.
And I said, we're going to go to a volcano. We're going to do this, because we only had 3 days. We really went to do Silfra. So we did the dive, which actually, that's behind me.
Oh, yes, I see. Wow.
My photos. So it was amazing. But, yeah, we really just – and we met this couple who had done 10 days in a camper van. And we were like, 100%, that's the next time, get the camper van. Because, it's very very interesting. There's something magical
about it. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they've done very well with their tourism.
Yes, they have. They've done a really good job. So, yeah, hats off to them. I just had this, I mean, so many magical moments, but like one night we were staying on Kirkjufell, so the mountain in the west. It's often in all the tourist brochures. Mm. But because I'm not a big planner, all I'd done was book an Airbnb vaguely in the vicinity of where we were headed, which turned out to be a cabin on the mountain, which, you know, is in all the photos. And it's just, it was just this amazing time. We were there in the middle of summer, so it was light the whole night through. You know, I was up in the middle of the night just looking out over this, the view that, it's just mind-blowing to me. And I don't know. There's just something special about Iceland, and that's why it's one of my favorite countries.
Yes, yes. It's a very diverse mix, and especially Japan as well is an easy place to travel. So that's I think they've made it. They've done a really good job with getting around. So certainly Tokyo, but also the train network is very good there too. So
Japanese trains are awesome. Sorry, not awful. They're awesome. But what I do like about Japan is off the beaten track it's not that easy to get around. I mean, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to not know where you're going. And I really love that. Like Tokyo and stuff is really, you know, touristified in the sense that it's easier to get around. But I lived in Osaka and Nara. And where I lived, there was no other foreigners, and I loved that. It was just, you know, you really feel like you're in a foreign place in a good way. Not that, you know, you do get a bit of attention, but it's not the unwanted kind. You know, Japanese is so polite. And my students, when I was teaching English, they would tell me about all these amazing places to go sightseeing. And they're places that are not on the map at all for tourists, but, you know, they are for the locals. And every one of them is just, you know, each of them could have been like a major tourist attraction.
But yeah.
There's just so much to see and do that they're not. Oh, I loved it.
And the Japanese people are so sweet. I was in one of my Pilates class the other day, and I could hear this lady, and I think I was pretty sure she was Japanese, and it was so endearing. I was like, oh, I just want to be friends with her.
I know.
No, it's a fascinating, and I totally agree with the reasoning for the country. My favorite country is India, and it's for the same reason of that. It's everything that Australia is not. It is everything that I grew up knowing, turn it on its head. And I like that, foreignness. If I'm going traveling, I want to feel like I'm in the culture, that I'm experiencing something different, you know, and, that bit of out of your depth.
Because that's where the big thinking happens, and the life-changing things, and the creativity. And, like, I'm loving traveling around Western Australia, but it's not as different. Obviously, it's nowhere near as different as traveling somewhere more foreign. And so it's not quite the same as one of those other really foreign experiences.
I totally hear it. So I'm going to ask you the next least favorite question, which is, do you have a least favorite country? And I always preface this with, it doesn't, you know, this isn't saying the country is bad. It's just saying that I didn't have the best experience, or I wouldn't rush back when there are countries that you love and that you want to rush back to?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I don't think I have, like, I really don't think I have a bad experience, like a bad enough experience of anywhere that I wouldn't return. I just like to, yeah, I would like to return everywhere. Just a few, like, honestly, when I've entered the United States, for example, the immigration process, every time I think I'm not coming here again,
yes.
You know, they're just, it's so harrowing. And I mean, you know, things like, you know, one time I was flying to Canada and I had to fly via LAX and the treatment there. And I'm like, you know, like the least, I don't know, like, you know, have all the privileges of a good passport and, you know, I shouldn't be targeted. And yet still the harrowing, you know, you must give us an address in Los Angeles before we'll let you get your bags. But I'm like, I've got this flight. See, in 1 hour to Canada, I'm not staying. And, you know, that kind of treatment, I just, I don't know. That sort of puts me off returning there, but I know there's lots more within the US that I would like to explore. But I would just like to be able to parachute in to the middle and skip the getting there bit.
Oh, 100%, 100%. One of my worst airport experiences was in Orange County. It was just awful. And just the woman was just, yeah, terrifying. Basically telling me I was a threat to the United States because of the work I did and that I couldn't present my ticket. And I was like, it's on my email, you know, the electronic version, you know, the thing that everybody uses. But no, it was unacceptable. So, yes, I totally understand. And that's really sad because the US is phenomenal for travel.
Yeah.
And, like, so diverse. And I think a lot of people are deterred by that same reason of the not foreignness of it. But there are parts of the US that are so, like, so scenically beautiful but also, like, culturally so different to what we think of as, you know, what we know of from American culture.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
But getting there is a hassle. And if you have to go through a very, unfortunately, lax Los Angeles, then people are pretty much kind of done with it.
Yeah. Also, I don't like tipping. The tipping culture really, I just find it so stressful. Like, I don't mind paying money, you know, money, whatever is appropriate, but the calculating what you should tip and the what's the custom for this particular kind of industry? Oh, I hate it. It's just one of the most stressful parts of traveling is if I find a country where I have to tip.
I would do an episode on tipping, but I'm pretty sure it would just be me ranting. So I don't think that would be enjoyable for anyone. And what I hate about it too is that it's infused into other countries. So, like, going to Mexico, I ended up in fights at the start of this year with people about the tipping. And it's like, this isn't your culture. You've adopted this culture because of the visitors you get. And I've had a really unpleasant experience in Nepal with the expectation of tipping because I know that there are American tourists, and I understand that that's what you do, but that's an important part of going to another place is asking, what's there a tipping culture? What should I do? And often they tell you, please don't, because we don't want to perpetuate it. And so then you respect that.
Exactly.
And you do what the country expects, not what, well, in my country, I tip, so I have to do that.
Exactly.
Which I have to suck up when I'm in America because in Australia we don't tip.
No, that's the problem,
swallow my pride, close my eyes and just give my money. And I just go, tell me how much it is in the end. Just put it on the credit card. I'll just pay it and nobody gets upset. So
yeah, absolutely. But
the thing I want to know most about is your podcast. And you have over 200 episodes now, which is like just, oh, my God.
Incredible. I know. It just keeps ticking up every week. I don't know how. It seems like a big number even to me. So I started the Thoughtful Travel podcast in March 2016. It was actually on my 40th birthday, so it was like a present to myself. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly.
All this work I have to do every week. No. No, it has truly been a gift. So the Thoughtful Travel podcast started because I loved listening to podcasts and I love talking, and I just felt there weren't many travel podcasts out there, and there wasn't anything that kind of looked at not non-destination kind of topics at the time.
Which blows my mind, by the way. Like,
I know, and I'm still surprised at how few there are because, but anyway, I really love to talk about, like, why travel is important, all the benefits of travel, like how travel changes us and makes us better people, how we can help others by traveling, you know, kind of all this, you know, touchy-feely, good, warm stuff about travel, because travel completely transformed my life in so many ways, and I want to encourage others to do the same. And I've also found that people really love to talk about their experiences
yes.
that are similar. So, you know, yes. the other ways that they've found travel to be, you know, rewarding or helpful or all of those kind of things. So I also decided straight from episode one to make life extra difficult for myself, because I don't just have one guest. Every episode I feature extracts from talks with three guests, because I kind of liked to have, I don't know, I like variety, and I didn't want to have, you know, I don't know, a guest that I didn't love. And but they, I don't know, it just, I thought this will be interesting, and it's, so it's topic based rather than guest based. But it's so much work.
I see that. And I just like, I don't know how you get like 10 minutes. I just start talking to people and it ends up being, you know, I'm like, we've got half an hour. And then I'm like,
yes.
Another 55-minute episode.
We often talk for an hour and sometimes longer, but then they might appear in, you know, in four or five different episodes over time.
That's cool.
But then there's just the whole juggling the pieces together. But I kind of like, I love that. I, you know, I delve through the notes I've taken while I've talked to my guests and find ways to piece their stories together. It's kind of like a creative puzzle. And so I love that. And what I love more than anything is that it seems to have really resonated with people, and I have developed this whole like group of, you know, like-minded travel loving friends across the world. You know, I have listeners from like 100 different countries. And it's amazing to me. They're all diverse ages, so, you know, quite young to quite old and everything in between, very many diverse nationalities, lots of people who speak English as a second language but love to travel, and so really diverse in every way, except that they have this very, very like-minded approach to travel. Like, it's not just, they're not real, you know, just bucket list ticking, or they're not like just, you know, go to the beach and chill out for a week. They're really, you know, really kind of addicted like me to just, you know, traveling as a way for like just learning more about themselves and the world. Like, I had no idea connection. There'd be so many people who were kind of, you know, like me. So it's just been an absolute thrill. I mean, I think you listened to my episode 200 and 201
yes,
the other day,
where
I
really
interviewed
cool.
some of my listeners, and I just put the call out in our Facebook group to say, hey, any listeners, like, you know, just pure listeners, not who people who work in travel or write or anything, you know, just anyone want to talk to me? And I thought, oh, they might feel it's a bit weird, or they might be, you know, like a bit intimidated or something.
Nervous,
yeah. And so many people put their hands up. And every one of those conversations, I was just smiling so big the whole hour we chatted. It was just like this massive reward for all that work, just to hear how they, you know, enjoy the podcast and how they listen. And
I'll stop talking, but it was so fun. I'm going to put it that in the show notes 100%, because those were great episodes. And I mean, the editing level, like, you know, just in my Darius, look at this. But, you know, so much editing work. But because I would like to start doing that with some of our, we do country episodes. Mm. So I want to start to sort of talk about our experience, but then bring in the other person.
Yeah,
but, you know, trying to coordinate people, even just, you know, because you go, I really want to launch this episode on this date, but then trying to get your two or three people in time and do the editing and, you know.
I know, be careful. Speech. Don't go yes. too far down this path.
Okay, good lesson.
I don't regret it, but it is a lot of work.
It's amazing how it evolves too, though, isn't it? It's, you know, I know that you sort of said you've kept the same pretty similar format, but that, you know, things that you didn't think you'd talk about, or I was like, oh, we're going to do all these country episodes up front, then we'll go into the other stuff. And then, but straight away I was like, oh, no, I really like talking to people, or people liked hearing that. So you go, well, we'll do a bit more of that. You know, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the vision that there could be 200 episodes, it was like, oh, there's no rush, you know,
exactly.
as long as we're enjoying doing it.
Yeah.
It's,
that's the thing. It's pure fun. Like, I love, you know, I really, really love all of it. So, yeah. Take your time and enjoy it, for sure.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, no, I genuinely could hear that your listeners loved listening, and I love that you have a community too. You know, that I think it really helps, and it's fascinating, because like there's definitely people in my group who haven't shouting to all of you now, but you probably can't hear because you don't listen. But they don't listen. I know they're in the group, but they don't listen. But, like, they love the questions. They love being asked, like you said, for their experience. So you go, like, where would you rather be today? Or tell me the first time you travelled, or what was the favourite hotel you ever stayed in, or whatever. And you just get all these people who they're friends as well sometimes, you know. So they you're on my Facebook feed. You never write anything. But now I ask you about your travel, and they want to share. And I think it's that group environment too that people feel safe.
And other people who actually are interested in what you want to talk about, because, you know, the worst traveler's nightmare is you come home from this amazing trip and then you see your friends and they don't care. They don't even know where you were and they don't want to know. So it's having friends or connections who do really care and really want to know about your travel experiences that makes a big difference.
And that was one of my top tips actually for people who do a big trip, because I've done some really big trips, like 4 months or a year. I mean, that's not even a trip anymore. That's living overseas. And people go, how was your trip? And you're like, do you mean how was a year of my life? Like, how was the last 4 months of your life? And so, you know, instead of just being like amazing and then close the conversation, what I did and I encourage people to do is think of a story from that time, or think of one thing you can talk about, and you go, oh, yeah, I really loved Mongolia. And one of the days I really loved was when we like stumbled across this family and ended up staying, you know, in the tent, and you tell that story to give a glimpse of it, and then it's a conversation, or then it's engaging, as opposed to, oh, yeah, it was great.
That is a really good tip, because when people ask that such a generic general question, it's hard to know how to engage in a conversation. But you're right, like, it's tell so them depleting. A story that,
like,
I know, awesome. It's awful.
Like, I came back 7 week trip, and I was like, you know, to Peru and Bolivia and Mexico and America, I'd be like, how was your trip? I was like, life changing. Do you want to hear about it? No, was it.
Yeah, I just needed to know. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I came back from like 6 years abroad, and half my friends didn't even know where I'd been. So
you're like, you don't know. That's why we end up talking to people on planes and trains and buses and telling our whole life story, because you're like, listen.
Because they care. Yeah. Also, they're trapped. But
true. I do enjoy that element. But speaking of. I mean, this is a really big question with all of you've done, but do you have a favourite travel moment or one that stands out, a travel moment that really stands out?
I mean, I have millions, but one I often talk about, because it was something I dreamed of doing for a long time, is traversing Russia on the Trans-Siberian Railway, because I'd read about it and seen docos about it and, you know, had all these books, and it also always seemed a little bit out of reach to do a trip like that. And then when I was living in Japan, my next job was in Slovakia. And so I had to get from Japan to Slovakia somehow. And, you know, on the map, Russia's kind of in the middle. So I was like, oh, my goodness, now is the time. And so that trip was, I mean, I love train travel, so that's part of it. We stayed in homestays along the way. Like, we got off, you know, the train 4 times, I think, and had homestays with Russian families, which was eye-opening. I don't know, it just feels like something, I don't know, it's a tangible, this is one trip and I can explain.
Yes.
I took the Trans-Siberian across Russia. You know, even if I just say that full stop, it's people have a vague idea of what I've done. But it's also something I want to do again in different ways, and it was just, I don't know, just something that was a particular moment. But can I have one more favourite travel moment?
Absolutely. It's only short. Absolutely.
Because I was thinking about this morning, and obviously, you know, I love Japan, and I've got a 10-year-old son, and so he's my, you know, absolute favourite travel buddy. I've completely brainwashed him to really adore travel, and his whole life I was telling him about Japan and my experiences there, and, you know, in our home we've got lots of things from Japan because I love it. He spent the first, I think the first like 5 years of him ever eating takeaway or fast food, it was all Japanese. He didn't know. He'd never been to any other chain, just Japanese. That was takeaway. And then I went on a press trip without him when he was about 7 for a couple of weeks, and he was really mad at me because I was in Japan again and he wasn't. So not that long ago, he was 8, 9, nearly 9, and I finally got to take him to Japan.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was just the best trip. We did all this crazy Japanese stuff. He loved so much of it. And I had tried to time it so we'd be there for cherry blossom season, but because of like some constraints, we were really going to be a bit early. and mm-hmm. not see the cherry blossoms. But of course, thank you, nature. They came early that year. And so on our last couple of days, I can just imagine it over and over. We were there and, you know, the cherry blossoms, it's just like such a stunning, amazing thing. And we were wandering through them and having a blast. And I just loved it. And then by the end of the like second day of really exploring that, he was like, I know you like to take photos, Mama, but you cannot take any more photos of cherry blossoms. You are banned from cherry blossom pictures. And I'm just, oh, no, I've broken him. He's never going to want to come to Japan again. Oh. But it was just such a laugh. And he still does want to go back to Japan, so it's okay. But we might go to a different season. So
I think it's so special taking someone you love to a place that means something to you. Like, I think it's such I loved taking my husband to India, and for him to actually enjoy it was really nice as well. It just really meant a lot. And then, but like actually Japan for me too, I went when I was 2, which I obviously don't remember, but I went back with my dad when I was like 20. And so to stand at, and it's, you're going to have to help me. It's the temple that starts with A in Tokyo.
I'm not so good on Tokyo because I always lived in the West, but anyway,
I'll have to put it
a large temple in Tokyo.
Giant big red temple. It's like the main one. But like Dad was like, I can remember standing here with you. Like, you know, when you were in your little pram. Yeah. And now I'm back here with you. And for him, it was just like he just felt so.
Oh, it gives me shivers.
Yeah, so special to take me back and to be in that same spot. Oh, so I think that's
beautiful.
Yeah. So although we want to have new experiences and see new places. I love returning
to places.
There's something so special about going back and then sharing that and telling the person why or seeing how it's changed or not changed and that it's the same and in your memory.
I took my son to the apartment where I used to live in Nara and I went to the supermarket that I always went to, and I mean he was just loving it because I've always told him these stories about it, and oh, that was one of my favorite days too. Yeah,
I love that. That's so special. Well, I have two more questions for you. One is, you know, I know that you're not a big bucket list ticker, but I obviously am. It's like the purpose of my podcast to visit every country. But
Yes.
I want to visit every UN recognized country. So do you know how many countries you visited?
I do kind of count, but I'm not sure right now. It would be maybe 45 or 46 around there.
Very impressive. It's funny, like when people say it, my cousin loves it. My cousin lives in America, who was on the podcast. He just, whenever he introduced me to someone, he's like, tell them how many countries you've been to. Just tell them, especially in the US, because, you know, they don't travel very much. They've been to like 5 or 6 and they've been to Europe, you know, maybe another couple. And then I just turn around, I go 64 and they're like, they just can't. They can't.
They probably don't even know there's that many countries in the world.
No, I know. And they're like, sometimes people ask me like, which ones? I'm like, do you really want to sit here for that?
Listen to this list.
I was like, I've got it in an iPhone note. I'll email it to you. Yeah, exactly. Look at my podcast. Oh, my blog. It's on there somewhere. Like, you know, next question. It's super fun. So it's not important, but it's
but there's something kind of. Yeah, I still love it. Love that. I should actually check my number. And I know my son loves the idea, and I think I must check. I've got an iPhone note on his. I think he's up to 18 or 19, which is ridiculous for his age. That's very
impressive for
under 10. Yeah, he's utterly spoiled. So.
But I want the same for my children in the future. Like, I would have this little passport that's just like
chock full.
But now I have different lists. I have like the list of countries that my husband and I have been to, the list of aquariums we've been to in different countries. That's his thing. The list of ski places, that countries I've skied in. Like, it's just fun. There's some fun things. But we used to count planes. My brother and I used to keep track of our flights. And my dad was like, oh, well, one day you'll get to the point where you know, you can't keep track. And I was like, yeah, right, Dad. I was like, I'm always going to keep track. And no,
that he was totally right, wasn't
out
he?
The window. Totally.
I know when my son was born, I tried to keep track of his flights, and I've since lost track of that. But I did for a few years because I'd given up on me, but I tried for him. But I,
it's just like sort of a fun, like little data.
It is fun. I mean, I like numbers and I like stats. So it's kind of a fun thing to look at.
Yeah. And where would you like to go next then? Like that you haven't been?
Oh, that I haven't been.
You can answer both.
Okay, so right now I would just like to leave Western Australia.
Anywhere
would be fine. I miss my friends in Sydney and Melbourne who I would usually see more regularly, so that would be a good start. I also am really sad that I'm missing out on our planned White Christmas in Germany and Switzerland. Obviously I've been there heaps. I mean, I used to live in Germany, and my son has cousins and aunties in Switzerland and Germany. We're going to see them all. And he was going to, because he, despite all his travels, he's never had proper snow, he says. And so he thinks that's terrible. I mean, I was 25 before I saw proper snow, but at 10. So so that's where I also would like to go next. Okay, so somewhere I haven't been, Southern Africa. So that's a big gap in my kind of travel history. I had nearly got to go there. I'd planned this awesome trip going through Namibia, South Africa, and then Mauritius with a boyfriend, and then we split up and he got the trip.
Damn it.
And I know. I got to stay in Europe, so I was happy with that.
Yeah. You know,
it worked out. But so I think anywhere in Southern Africa, you know, I've seen parts of Northern Africa but never Southern Africa, and I just think there's a lot there that I would love. So that, okay, that's a very long way to get to my, I've finally answered your question.
No, that's somewhere.
I'd like to go that I haven't been.
I love it. I love it. And it's funny sometimes it's like where you end up. Like in my country count, I have a lot of Asia. You know, whereas like Europe should be an easy one. I've done quite a lot of Europe, but Europe's the next sort of stop. And, you know, before COVID, damn it, like I was planning, we did one last year, like a road trip where we did 4 countries in 4 days, which is fun. not for everyone, but it was super fun. But Europe is the place that you can do that. Whereas Africa, not the place where you can do that. But
No, you need some time.
You need time, chunks of time. Yeah. And so, funnily enough, with Asia, even though it's so close, it'd be so easy to kind of do a little bit of a jumpy trip. But I'm like, I've done this weird scattering. So it's so annoying because I'd love to just do like a, I could get, you know, people go, why don't you do Southeast Asia? And I was like, I've done like 3 out of the 5. Like, like I would have to go through the ones I've been to before. So, you know, my husband's always looking at it going, where can we go next? Like, what's a quick win for you? Like, how can we get a win? And I love it. So he's on board with the ticking.
That's so cute.
It's really fun. But, yeah, it's a where to next was always an easy question, and now it's, don't know.
Let's wait and see, isn't it?
See. So I look forward to checking back in, but we could talk for hours, so I will let you run. This has been brilliant. I so look forward to, I have so many hours to catch up on of your podcast now that now that I'm hooked, and we'll put all of your links so that people can join that beautiful community as well and make sure they listen. So
thank you
for sharing, and thank you for what you're doing for travel podcasting and for travel in general. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. It's been such a pleasure to chat. I could definitely chat to you for the rest of the day.
Yes, you'll be back. Promise.
I'll be back. Good.
Thank you.
And welcome back again to the outro, everyone. Thank you, Emma, for bringing Amanda on the podcast and getting us some tips on how to get to episode 200 and beyond.
Yeah, really like letting them in the insights into how we do this. This is seamless, Darius, seamless.
What? What have I done wrong?
I think we don't need to tell them it's the outro. I think we just do it.
Welcome back to the outro. That's fine. That's fine. I'm rolling with this. Stop laughing. Get on with what we're
have to
say. You
know dear listeners, is that Darius is in charge of editing, so I have no control over what you hear and what you don't. So
this is not annoying. This is the quality control, I call it.
I think the quality controller needs some quality controlling. Anywho, tell them how
Instagram,
to find
Instagram at lovelytravels.com. No, just at lovelytravels. The website is www.lovelytravels.com. The Facebook group is amazing. We have a brand new Facebook page, Lovely Travels, facebook.com/lovelytravels. Yep, I'm getting a nod. And also there's a, no, I mentioned the website. I've done these in the wrong order.
But there's an email. If you can email
there
us.
There is an email.
So we would love to hear from you. If you're a listener who would like to come on the podcast, you have a travel story to tell, you just want to tell us a bit about your country, love to hear from you. So please email us. Or if you just want to tell us that you're really enjoying it, it warms the cockles of our hearts. So info@lovelytravels.com. And
That's
just
right.
Just going to spell that as well. INFO at LOVELLY. That's very important. Travels.com. Info at lovelytravels.com.
Yeah.
And rate, review, subscribe. Please rate, please review. Tell other people how wonderful we are so they can come and join us in this beautiful community.
Yeah, that'd be great. We look forward to you listening to us soon.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.